Steve here. Thanks for joining us at the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast. You are about to listen to Episode 17 with Carl Forbes from the ACT. Whether a high school educator or a parent or both, I think you will find this interview filled with information that you can use to assist your students or children with college and career planning. Also, don't forget to look us up on iTunes and leave us a star rating. And how about following us? Thank you once again for taking the time to listen. Please share our content with others. Best wishes, stay tuned, and enjoy.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, today's episode is with Carl Forbes, account manager and client relations with the ACT. Hey, Carl, say hi to everybody.
Hi, good morning, or good afternoon.
Carl, I can't thank you enough for joining me. I met you last summer at a leadership conference in Jekyll Island, Georgia, and I hung onto your card, so whether that's good or not, you're going to find out now, right?
Well, I always like a Klingon. I'm a Star Trek fan.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Definitely a Star Trek fan, and I definitely Klingon. So, hey, let's talk a little bit about what you do and who you are before we start talking about the ACT, okay?
Okay. Well, I'll give you the 30,000-foot view of what I do. I work with both secondary schools and post-secondary schools. As an account manager, what I do is I've been assigned different schools in the state of Georgia, both post-secondary and secondary. If I were working with a secondary school, what I would be doing with that school is looking at reports, helping teachers, counselors, administrators understand what their data is telling them, and also give advice as to how to respond to the data. If I were working with a post-secondary institution, we'd be looking at that same set of data, except they'd be looking at it from an admission standpoint or a scholarship or a retention standpoint, and we'd be talking about kind of the same things, what does the data mean, but also we'd be looking a little bit more or focused a little bit more on, what are the right students to take? What are some of the decisions that you could make based on the information the students are giving you? How do you set up a scholarship profile? How do you retain these students? How do you use the data that we're sending or have the students are sending to figure out who are the students who are in need of services and who don't need services? So I do things like that.
Great. How long have you been doing this?
This is year 8 for me.
Oh, excellent. So as we're talking about this, one of the things I got to ask is, because I saw you in Georgia, do you live in Georgia or do you work around the country?
I don't live in other places. I actually live in Georgia, but I do work in other states. So I spend a lot of time also in North Carolina. I'm also assigned the city/state of Washington, D.C., and the city of New York.
Oh, excellent. So you get to see a good chunk of the country.
Because even though I am assigned to those areas, I also help out in other places around the country. So I literally have been to probably 40 of the 50 states.
Wow. Well, let's go ahead and start talking about the organization, the ACT, because most people know the initials as a test. What else is there?
There are a lot of things. We're really focused on college and career readiness. So we do a lot of advising about college and career readiness. And that's probably where most people are going to touch and feel the ACT, but we also are in the area of work preparedness, so you'll probably be familiar with the Work Keys exam and the Career Ready 101 curriculum that goes along with that. So that's a product of ACT. We also have a free, what we call profile, where students can do the interest inventory and create a profile for themselves that way, and they can go right to www.actprofile to do that. We also are in licensure, so there are several licensure assessments that we do. So we're primarily an assessment and a data company.
Okay, excellent.
Let's talk a little bit. Let's go to one of those areas that you talked about. And you talked about how ACT has a focus on college and career readiness. The college and career readiness part, why do you think this would be a good area for them to be familiar with, going to the ACT website and looking at the college and career readiness part of it?
Well, there's a couple of reasons why I would say that that's important. I think the most important reason is a lot of folks think of the ACT as the college test, and they think of the results as the number that colleges are going to use to make the decision of whether my kid is going to get in or not. And the ACT is so much more than that, and college readiness is more than just a score. So I think that's a very important thing for people to get by.
One of the things that I attended things, there's a scientific word. I attended a training last year with ACT, and one of the things I learned about were the standards and benchmarks. We talked a little bit about this last summer. I was just wondering if you could share with us the whole idea about what that concept is and kind of just a general overview of the standards and those benchmarks and what it can help parents with as well as educators.
As we talk about the idea of college and career readiness, I think one of the big ideas there is that you need to know what scores on the ACT represent. And that's where the college readiness standards come in. The college readiness standards, that's a list of the standards that we are measuring. And it's tied to the score ranges. So as a student takes the ACT and they get their score, you can actually look at that score and see, what does that score represent? What is my skill set? Which is something that you can't do with other assessments. You can actually look at that and say, I know how to do this and this and this. I'm able to do this, this, and this. These are things that are in my skill set. So you actually come back not just with an ACT score, but an understanding of what you're able to do and ready to do. You also get ideas for progress. Well, if this is where I am now and I want to do better, what are some activities or what are some things that I can do that will help me improve, move to the next level, and move to the next score? So that is the idea of the standards. And then, because this is all research-based, we've been able to take a look at colleges, finding out what colleges say students need, looking at performance on the college level in college coursework, and say, okay, here are the score or the skills that students need to be successful in these college-level courses. Here are the score ranges that are tied to that or connected to that. So if a student scores these benchmarks, that means that they're ready for college-level work. And we have that in all four of our subject areas, English, math, reading, and science.
Excellent. Thank you. One of the things I know when I attended that training, they presented us with a little film, and it talked about how one of the mistakes that often happens is that a student will get a score that a university might accept, but if they had paid attention to the benchmarks and how the student did in certain areas, like for example, I think the example they give in the short presentation is about a young lady who gets accepted into a college to major in accounting, but she doesn't do well because if you go back and look at her how she scored in the different areas, that she actually was, her math score was lower. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's something that was an eye-opener to me that I had never thought about.
Yes. What we do there is we're looking at, we can actually take a look at students' career interests as well as their scores on the ACT. And so as we're taking a look at that, one of the things we can find and match up is that if a student is indicating that they are interested or they want to do something in a math area, and they haven't taken the proper amount of math, or if math isn't a strong area for them, perhaps they should be reevaluating their career choice. So on a student score report, you can take a look and see where are the strong areas that the student is showing, where are the weak areas that the student is showing, and make some decisions that way in terms of, is this a proper or appropriate choice, or should the student be thinking of something else?
I got you. So when the report comes back after the student takes the ACT, is this part of that report where it explains the scores according to the benchmarks?
Yes, and not only that, but we also refer folks to the website so they can get more information and more detail about that.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, let's shift gears just a little bit. And in looking at college admissions and the role of the ACT and the SAT, is there a difference between the two tests? Because oftentimes parents will ask you, as an educator, these questions, and you know, you usually go upon what you think is the truth. But I was wondering, now that I'm talking to somebody from the ACT, is there a difference between the ACT and the SAT?
There are a couple of fundamental differences between the ACT and SAT, so I'll share with you some of those fundamental differences.
Appreciate it.
The first one is that the ACT is a test of curriculum, so what you know is what you show, as opposed to the SAT, which may be more of a test of reasoning. The other fundamental difference that we have is that the ACT has science as part of the battery of exams that we measure, and we feel that science is important. So there's another area where you can see a difference between ACT and SAT. The third one is that the writing test is optional, and that's because only 16% of colleges and universities around the country actually require the writing test.
Oh.
So since the likelihood is that a student won't be applying to a school that requires writing, we give the student the choice on whether they want to take the writing test or not.
Gotcha. Is there a recommended time when you should encourage kids to take the ACT during their high school? Like, should they wait till their junior year, or is it better to take it the second semester of their sophomore year? Or
I always recommend that a student take their ACT in the second semester of the junior year, either the April or the June assessment. I also recommend that a student take the SAT in their junior year as well. And the reason for that is because a student doesn't know on which test they're going to do better. And most schools will tell you that about a third of the students do better on the ACT, a third of the students do better on the SAT, and for a third of the students there's no significant difference. So I always recommend that a student take both so that they get an idea on which test they do better in their junior year. That way, over the course of the summer, they can prepare, do something intentional to get ready for the senior year, and then take the ACT one more time in their senior year.
Parents are looking for people to give them answers, and they always have access. They have easier access to the teachers, and so before they go see their counselors. And so I know that trying to share this information is one of my goals here, so that more people would be able to answer some of those questions, because oftentimes you don't really know those answers. And so I appreciate you going into that, because that's good advice. Let's back up just a little bit, because the ACT has something called a plan. And I was wondering if you would just discuss that just a little bit and think about two different audiences. One would be the educators, and then one would be from the parents' aspect, you know, in thinking about asking about the plan, whereas with the educators, why they want to encourage their school to have the plan.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do, instead of talking about plan, and the reason I'm going to divert the question here, is that plan is actually going away.
Uh-huh.
And we're rolling that functionality into a program that we call ACT Aspire. And that's capital ACT and then capital A, lowercase Spire, ACT Aspire.
Okay.
So talking to educators about ACT Aspire and ACT and parents about ACT Aspire, one of the things that we wanted to do, because of our research, and we do research constantly, we're a data research company as well as an assessment company. When we did a report just a few years ago called The Forgotten Middle, one of the indicators that we learned and that we share is that we know by eighth grade which students are going to be college ready and which students are not. And with that level of predictability, one of the scary things is that those students that aren't ready or who aren't showing that they're going to be ready when they're in eighth grade hardly ever catch up. And so the likelihood is, if a student goes to high school not ready for high school, they won't graduate from high school ready for college. So we were starting our testing in eighth grade with the ACT, with the Explore program in eighth grade. And one of the things we found is that even if we start looking at college readiness and start measuring it in eighth grade, it still might not be soon enough to do something about it and get students ready for high school, let alone college. And so we started this program called ACT Aspire. We're rolling it out this spring. April 1st is going to be our first administration of this test. It's both, we have both a computer-based one and a paper pencil. But the whole idea being, if we can identify students on that path to college and career readiness, and if we can figure out which of those students are on track right now and which ones aren't, we can start to get remediation to those students who are not on track to be college ready as early as third and fourth grade.
Wow.
So that by the time they get to eighth grade, we can get more of those students on track and ready for high school. That way they'll be ready for college when they graduate high school. So that assessment that we have there, that ACT Aspire, has a compulsory fifth section, because we do have English, math, reading, and science. But we also have, I shouldn't say compulsory, but we also have an optional writing test there too, which is something that schools would administer to their students. They would determine what their goals are, what their priorities are, and from there, they would choose which of the assessments they want to offer. And they could choose any of the five or all five if they wanted, from third grade through eighth grade, and then also a 10th grade test, which would be similar to what we used to do with PLANT.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm glad I asked that question, because I did not realize that the PLANT was going away and going to be replaced. When will this
This is all very new.
Gotcha. When will this be completely in place? What's the idea?
Right now, like I said, we're starting the first official implementation on April 1st. So that's coming up in just a couple of weeks. We did do two rounds of field testing to make sure that everything was working. We did one last spring and then one spring before that. So right now, what we're working on now is the reporting. The reporting looks so fantastic that it's hard to even describe. But what we've done is that we've taken those data tables that we would have shared as part of their plan or explore report, and we've turned it into students. So you can see your aggregate, where the students are, but then you can also click in on a student to find out where that individual student is in that aggregate, which, I mean, to see that kind of thing and the functionality of that is totally amazing. And it's very exciting for educators who were looking at data tables before and saying, you know, what do I do now? But now you actually have actionable data that you can look at your entire cohort and say, okay, I think I have an idea of what I can do, but I can also click in on John and Sally, and I can say, okay, and I definitely know what to do for John and Sally, because I can click in on them, see what they need, and put something together.
What's amazing about all of this is that there's so much more there, and that's part of my wanting to talk with you, so we could share this information about the types of tools that educators could use to share with the parents and families, as well as do as a get involved with as a school or school system to help their families in planning and preparing, getting their children ready for college. What I want to do is use that as a segue to there's other tools that are specifically on the website that are directed a little more towards parents and their children, helping them plan for college. And for example, like one of those tools is that college search function. And I was just wondering if you could talk about some of those tools that are there, because I know that having my own children who right now is in college, and another one who is in the process of trying to decide what colleges he'd even like to apply to, these are very helpful tools. And I was just wondering if you could kind of talk about them a little bit.
We have several tools that are geared toward parents, but I'll start with the college search. You're going to find that there are several college search types of web tools. On ACT's web tool, what we try to do is we try to take the judgment out of it and leave the judgment to students and their families. So what they're going to do is the student will go in, they may check some options in terms of the college size or a college major or a college location, and we'll just give you a list. And from there, students can start to click on the websites, connect to websites for those different schools to get an idea of what those schools have to offer. But the important part of that being is that we're not judging. We're not saying this school is better than others and that kind of thing, because that, you know, all of that information is relative. So what we like to do is like to put the information in front of the student and their families and let them make decisions about the value of that school and the potential fit for the student. And I think that should be the main focus, the potential fit for the student, not its ranking or how other folks feel about thrive in that environment. So we have that tool. We have a lot of test prep tools there that are free. And I always point students and their families to the free resources before they start considering the fee resources. So they have test prep tools there, including two complete exams that they can take so they can get an idea of what do these questions look like on the ACT? What do they feel like? So that when they sit down on test day, that's not the first day that they see test questions, that they've seen them ahead of time. We also have some apps that they can download to their cellular telephonic device where they can go through and do questions of the day, as well as manage their personal account, send their scores off to different colleges, universities, and things like that. So they can actually do that from an application on their cell phone.
Okay, now that's cool. I don't mean to derail you, but I think what's amazing is that's just another aspect of teaching the kids how to use those phones, those powerful computers they have in their hands, and how it could help them as opposed to just being something for downloading music and checking up on Facebook.
See, now that speaks to the Star Trek fan in you.
Two to beam up, yes.
Two to beam up.
In looking at one of the tools that I think is neat, and I know it, I believe it comes in the report, has to do with the career planning and that world of work map. Can you speak to that just a little bit?
Yes, I alluded to this earlier, where students can take a look. You know, when we ask students all their questions, we ask them what they want to do when they grow up and that kind of thing. So they indicate that, but then we also give them a 72 question interest inventory based on Holland's model of work. So when a student sits and they take that answering questions, yes, I like that activity. No, I don't like this activity. I'm indifferent about this activity. Based on the way other people have answered those questions over a number of years, we're able to give students an idea of what are career fields that may be of interest to them later on. And they can actually go through and match that up and say, okay, this is the field that I think I want. And based on my interest inventory, it tells me either it confirms my idea or it says, you know, let's do some more thinking. We just released a report last month it was a STEM report that showed that those students who indicate that they're interested in STEM, and then based on their interest inventory, it demonstrates that they're interested in STEM, they tend to do better than if there's a mismatch there. We also have a college choice report that we released last year that supports the same idea, except it supports the same idea across the board, not just in the science, technology, engineering, and math field. So that career interest inventory and that piece of research that we have, we feel that is critical because it's really getting us into the understanding the connection between what students think they want, what they demonstrate they want, and then how do they do when they actually make their transition to college and university.
Excellent. There's a lot of information there, a lot of choices to make, and it's one of the things that I like about the ACT is that there's a lot of helpful advice, I guess, if you will, information they can go take a look at, whether they're educators and helping parents or whether they're and children and their students, or whether it's actually a place for the parents to go to with their child, with their student who's looking to go to college and focus on a career. What advice would you give educators who work with high school students in helping students? Do you have some thoughts that some things that you would, if you had an audience in front of you right now, are there a couple specific things that you tell educators if to give them advice about helping their students?
I do. Probably the first piece of advice that I would give an educator is that testing is not the devil. And I mean, I know that a lot of research is out there saying that testing is no good and that kind of thing, but we do testing all the time. Teachers do testing all the time. We have to have an idea of what our students know and what they don't know so we know whether we can move forward or whether we need to go back. So testing is important. So let's not treat it as the devil and treat it as what it really is, which is a tool. And we can use this tool for testing to give us a lot of information. Now, moving on to the idea of standardized testing in the ACT, we can, if educators know that the test score is not just a score that determines whether the student gets in the college or not, but that can be used to evaluate not only the program, how our entire school is doing, but now, because we're reaching down into the earlier grades, we can get an idea of how our entire program, from third grade all the way through to high school, how it's doing in preparing students to be college and career ready. And if there are gaps, if there are holes there where we think that we're teaching things that students aren't getting, we can improve that. We can improve the instruction. We can improve the delivery so that we can reach more students. And I think that is a piece that I don't really believe that teachers embrace that. I mean, even when I was a teacher, I didn't embrace that fully because I was afraid that someone was keeping score and someone measuring me up against these test scores. And if we move past that and start looking at what these tests are actually telling us, I think it'll help better prepare us as teachers or better prepare teachers to work with students because they'll be accepting the data, owning the data, responding to the data, and then going back to tools like testing to evaluate their progress, their own progress, let alone what an administrator will do, for teacher pay increases or evaluation and that kind of thing. But you want teachers to embrace the data so that they can be comfortable enough assessing themselves to see if they're doing the right thing or if they need to improve. So I would say that's probably one of the biggest tenets that I would love to share with teachers, that yes, this is testing, and yes, it tells you something, but let's look at what it tells us, and let's look not at how it evaluates us, but how it can help us.
Gotcha. I appreciate you sharing that, because I know it's something that we have our own conceptions of what it's about, and just like you said, I mean, as a teacher, you're looking at what it could be about you, and instead turning it around and talking about what the good that comes out of it. And I appreciate you saying that. So tell me, is there something that you would like to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
Is there anything that I would like to talk about that you haven't asked me about? I'm trying to think if there's something else that I didn't mention that I thought would be important. No, I think I'm good.
Okay. Well, you know, I greatly appreciate the time you spent with me today, Carl. And one of the things that I want to make sure I close with is, as we close up, in finding out more about the ACT, they need to go to the website ACT.org, right?
Yeah, you can find out a lot there. But for a student, their first stop should be ACTStudent.org, because that is really geared toward the student, not the educator or the parent. Now, when the parent goes there, they can go to www.act.org, click that they're a parent, and find a whole page of parent resources, including how to help your student look for financial aid, how to prepare for your student for the testing, and that kind of thing. So they'll get that kind of stuff going to the parent site. Students themselves should go right to ACT Student. And again, I'll emphasize for students that we have the applications that they can get on their cellular phones, which one is the ACTStudent.org, and one is the college search. And there's also a third one, because right now we're requiring students to upload their pictures, they can actually do the ACT picture, where they can connect their picture to their profile when they're registering for the test.
Wow. Sorry, I'm thinking back to when I took these tests and you had to have two picture IDs, and your phone didn't phone, forget that. It was the size of a small dog. And so you couldn't have all these things at your fingertips. So, wow, that's pretty cool that you can do that. I appreciate you sharing that too. And Carl, I thank you very much for spending time with us today. We've got, there's just so much information out there, and this will be very helpful for the educators and parents as they're getting children ready to go on to post-secondary education. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for even thinking about me and putting me on. Hopefully I sound coherent, and hopefully I help.
You sound great, and you were very helpful. You take care and have safe travels, all right?
All right, thank you. You take care.
Take care now.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.